Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to talk to you about driving with Uber. Actually, I want to ask you, why are you not driving with Uber? I mean, we've had this discussion before. I've told you, and you know, driving with Uber is a great way to make some extra money. Okay, listen, you have everything you need. You have a car, you have a license. All you have to do is go to drivingwithuber.com. Great way to make extra money. Freedom. That's what it's about. Do it on your own schedule. You go to school. You have kids at home. If some reason you can't work a normal, maybe you just don't want to work a normal 9-to-5 office gig. You want to be out and about. You want to do things. You want freedom. Drive with Uber. You can set your own schedule. You can determine where you want to drive, etc., etc. It's a great way to make some extra cash. And like I said, you've got everything you need. You have a car, you have a license. The only thing you need to do is go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Get over there today. Check out Drive with Uber. Look at making some extra money. Listen, hey, Labor Day was this week. You know what that means? Christmas is next week. You're going to need some money. Why don't you make it? Drivewithuber.com. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 118 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Wow, this week has been, and I hate to say it, but I got to say it, it's just basically Republican clown week. I mean, I've reached a point, and you've probably reached a point too, where we're tired of it over and over, but honestly, where are the grown-ups on the Republican side? I hate to say this, and I didn't know if I'd ever be saying it, but I actually am beginning to feel sorry for Republicans. Not for crazy Republicans, but for reasonable Republicans, businessmen, businesswomen, people who have a reason to support the Republican Party are just getting swamped by the nonsense. Now, the latest round of crazy, and that's going to be an ongoing description of this, but the latest thing is the Iran deal. Now, for those not familiar with it, and I'm not going to go into the minutiae of the deal, but you probably heard by now, Barack Obama has a deal on the table to deal with Iran and their nuclear efforts to develop nuclear energy, and of course they want to develop a nuclear bomb, and we have sanctions against them. So Barack Obama made a deal to slowly remove some sanctions, and we and other nations get to monitor their nuclear development and so on and so forth. And basically the president and the world kind of agreed, well, not perfect, no deal is, but this seems to be a good deal to keep an eye on Iran, to provide some security for Israel, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so that's what was on the table. Now, because it was Barack Obama's policy, right away, all the Republicans in the House of Representatives said, we have to stop it. We have to put a stop to it. We're going to vote no. We're going to do a resolution, blah, 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 blah. The resolution went to the Senate. It was a disapproval resolution for an agreement made by the president. No, I've never heard of that done either, but, you got to disrespect Obama. It's part of being a Republican congressman. So anyway, it went to the Senate. The Senate, Democrats, and independents had enough votes to stop the disapproval from the House. So their bill will never get to the president, and he won't have to veto it. I know it sounds like a lot of double negatives. It is. It's kind of confusing, but that's the real. Okay, that's the grown-up. Now, there was a protest against the Iran nuclear deal, of course, and there were interviews done. So I'm going to start with what Hillary Clinton said, and then I'm going to go to the clown portion and why the Republicans are having so much trouble, the grown-up Republicans are having so much trouble taking seriously. So Hillary Clinton had to respond to this, something different than her email account, by the way. And basically she said, this is what she said about the Iran deal. The bottom line, it accomplishes the major goals we set out to achieve. It blocks every pathway for Iran to get a bomb, and it gives us better tools for verification and inspection to compel rigorous compliance. Okay, that's basically what she said. Sounds like a reasonable, intelligent answer. Okay, now let's get to the clown show. Donald Trump. We are led by very, very stupid people. Very, very stupid people. We cannot let it continue. If I were elected president, we will have so much winning that you may get bored with winning. What? That's his response to an international treaty, an international policy. That response was nothing. But that wasn't the best response, because for some reason, they dusted off Sarah Palin at this rally. This was her party. So this is what she said, and this ain't going to be easy to say, nor easy to listen to. Only in an Orwellian Obama world full of sprinkly fairy dust blown from atop a unicorn as he's peeking through a really pretty pink kaleidoscope would he ever see victory or safety for America or Israel in this treaty. What? What? That's your political response? Well, Sarah, only in a world full of sprinkly fairy dust blown from atop a unicorn would anyone seriously listen to you. So that's the Iran deal. But we're not done yet with just a crazy week for Republicans. Chris Christie, okay, who's one of the more reasonable candidates. Well, we thought he was. He's got a problem with rock climbing walls. This is this is an issue. He actually said this. He said at a town hall in New Hampshire, okay, he's Chris Christie lashed out at rock climbing walls. This is what he said. What have I found as I've gone around the country? There's a rock climbing wall epidemic. There's a rock climbing wall at Notre Dame. Two of them, in fact. I went to Iowa State. There's a rock climbing wall there. Then he turned on the local state university at New Hampshire. You have rocks right out there. What do you need a rock climbing wall for? Christie, they use it for working out, something you probably haven't done. Really? That's the issue you're grabbing on? Mind you, Chris Christie has spent over $300,000 on food and drink over $300,000 of taxpayers' money on food and drink since he's been governor. Okay, throwing parties, et cetera, et cetera. Rock climbing walls, that's what you're mad about? And he is one of the more serious candidates. Now, let's move on. Mike Huckabee. We know about Kim Davis. Okay, Kim Davis is the woman, I'm being generous here, in Kentucky, who refused to abide by the court's decision and issue marriage licenses to gay people because it goes against her religious belief. Okay, we're going to forget about obviously we're forgetting about the separation of church and state and the fact that it's your job. It has nothing to do with your religion. It's your job. If you don't want to do it, quit your job. So she went to jail, and this is the war. This is what they call the war on religious liberty. By the way, the only religion that counts in religious liberty is their Christianity, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. But anyway, so she goes to jail for 8 days for contempt of court for not following the judge's order. 6 days in jail for not following the judge's order. The judge was appointed by George Bush, by the way, so I'm not saying this is one of them crazy liberal activist judges. She gets out of jail. They play Eye of the Tiger. That's the music they're playing. Mike Huckabee is out there and starts talking about their hero has been freed. Ted Cruz is walking the rope line where they have the supporters behind it. He's shaking hands and kissing babies, blah, 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 blah. Now, these are two supposed candidates for president supporting a woman who defied a judge's order to comply with the law of the land. Okay? Again, absolutely unbelievable. But the funny thing is that while this was supposed to be Kim Davis's moment, Mike Huckabee did all the talking. Now, here's the thing about this, and this is why this has nothing to do with religious freedom, and no, she's not Rosa Parks or anything. You know what? Rosa Parks sat down on a bus for her civil right to sit down on a bus. She didn't sit down on a bus to make sure no Puerto Ricans could ride the bus. Okay, that's the difference. These people are fighting to discriminate. They're using the Bible to discriminate. It's, you've heard me talk about it before. This is their interpretation of the Bible, that it is used to divide, discriminate, and et cetera. But there's Huckabee and there's Cruz, but I'm not done yet. Not it's Ted Cruz. Part of Ted Cruz's stump speech, part of Ted Cruz's background, part of Ted Cruz's story is that his father fled violence in Cuba in the 50s. His father was a Cuban refugee who got out before Castro, came to America, made it, blah, blah, blah. What is Ted Cruz against? Syrian refugees coming to the United States. Okay, let me say that again. His father was a Cuban refugee who left Cuba to escape violence in the Castro regime, came to the United States. Ted Cruz is against Syrian refugees trying to escape violence and come to the United States. I literally cannot make this stuff up. It is one after another. These guys are amazing. I don't even want to use the word crazy anymore. It's like there's no point of reasonableness to even talk. By the way, on that religious freedom thing, religious liberty, you know, standing up there with Kim Davis. Yeah. Recently, and let me get this name right, because I do not want to mess up names. A Muslim flight attendant lost her job, Cherise Stanley. She lost her job because she refused to serve liquor on an airplane. She said it's against her religion to serve liquor. Initially, the airline she worked for, which is a subsidiary of American Airlines, said that that's okay. The other flight attendants will serve liquor. Then they changed their mind and said, no, if you won't do your job, you're suspended. Didn't see Mike Huckabee there. Didn't see Ted Cruz there supporting her religious freedom. Could it be because her religion is a Muslim religion? Yes, that's exactly why. So, again, if you're a grown-up, intelligent, reasonable Republican, who do you support? Do you support Donald Trump, who can't answer a question on policy because he doesn't know anything about policy? Do you support Mike Huckabee or Ted Cruz, who are jumping on this religious bandwagon and say, well, I'm going to go ahead and support biblical law ahead of the Constitution? You know, that separation of church and state, freedom of religion, non-discriminatory practices in that. Yeah, ignore all that. We're going to go ahead and discriminate in the name of Jesus. Do you support Ted Cruz, the man whose story is my dad was a refugee, who's against allowing in any refugees? Or do you go with Chris Christie, the incredibly overweight, out-of-shape guy who seems to have a problem with climbing walls at colleges, which are a means to work out and get in shape? I don't know. I don't know. Good luck is what I got to say to you guys. Good luck. This amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'll tell you what you say to them. Follow REM's lead. REM did not like the Tea Party and their Stop the Iran Deal rally in Washington using REM's song, It's the End of the World as We Know It. And I feel fine. Remember that song? Great song. So they checked with Mike Mills, one of the members of REM. He said, cease and desist. He said, in discussing Donald Trump, he said, personally, I think the orange clown will do anything for attention. Michael Stipe, the lead singer, Michael was a little more succinct in his comment. Go fuck yourselves, a lot of you, you sad, attention-grabbing, power-hungry little men. Maybe that's the right response. Maybe they'll hear that. God bless you, REM. Mike, you hit it on the head with that one. Where do we go from here? Again, nothing changes if nothing changes. That'll be my next topic. You guys know I'm big on that. So, James Blake, who was once, not too long ago, the fourth-ranked tennis, male tennis player in the world, was at the U.S. Open, standing in front of his hotel. Okay, man was a pro tennis player, going to the U.S. Open, sounds reasonable. Not to some undercover New York cops who tackled him, slammed him to the ground, held him down, and said that, well, we thought he was a suspect in a credit card scam. And he wasn't let up until another cop recognized him as, oh, he's a professional tennis player. What the cop said, well, he looked like the guy who was involved in a credit card scam. Okay, this is ridiculous on so many levels. First of all, I look like James Blake, okay? You know what James Blake is? He's a black man over 6 feet tall with a shaved head. That could be me. So now I can't go to New York, or maybe I have to carry it. Maybe he should just carry a tennis racket at all times, or maybe that would be the weapon he was carrying, why they had to tackle him and slam him to the ground. They said he looked like the guy that somebody said was involved. And yeah, that's the bullshit. He looked like the guy that somebody identified as being involved in a credit card scam. The police didn't identify themselves as police. They didn't say walk. And he was in front of a luxury hotel in Manhattan. He wasn't like hanging out down on the corner where we do credit card fraud, you know. The police didn't identify themselves as police. They didn't walk up and say, hey, man, can we talk to you for a minute? They tackled him and held him face down on the ground. He said, the cop said, don't say anything. He said, the only thing I want to ask is what's going on. Some people said, well, that's the proper response. As finally, black folks is behaving right when they get abused by the police. At least he didn't put up a fight. He just, no. He was trying to be reasonable, and he was abused. And it happens over and over. And he said the reason he's talking about it is because he can. Because of who he is, because of his tennis career, the media will listen to him. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't know the solution to this, but this culture of police abuse of minorities has to stop. The cops in Pasco, Washington, who shot a Mexican guy, he threw a rock at them. They shot him 17 times. They will not be charged because somehow the law says, well, you can't prove that it was a malicious act. You can't prove the cops had malice in their hearts. As they shot a man 17 times for throwing a rock. I could prove it. He was Mexican. That was it. That was it. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. This is ridiculous. It's obviously it is some kind of police policy. Okay, deny it all you want. If a white man, not one of those, and there were very few, but not one of the guys arrested on Wall Street for the fraud that Wall Street has committed repeatedly for so many years has ever been tackled and slammed face first into the ground. They haven't, okay? They plain and simple. Nobody tackled anybody on Wall Street. Nobody tackles anybody for a credit card scam. It's not a violent crime. You're not carrying a gun, even if you're doing it. You're doing the whole thing online. At best, you're a dangerous nerd, okay? So, obviously, this is some kind of police policy, and something needs to be done. It is absolutely ridiculous, and I am so tired of it. Finally, and I say finally because there's other things I could go into on this podcast, but I cannot top the craziness of the Republicans this week and this Iran deal, and this is what it's going to be like. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Donald Trump, his amazing talent is to say things so crazy that you can't question them. That's the beauty of Donald Trump. So the issue is the Iran deal. The question is, what do you think of the deal? Why do you think the deal shouldn't go through, et cetera, et cetera? And the response is, if I'm president, I'm going to win so much, America's going to be tired of winning. There's no follow-up question. you can't do anything after that. There is one other thing I wanted to talk about. In Phoenix, Phoenix is having a problem with some kind of highway shooter. This has happened a few times recently, okay? Somebody in Phoenix, a shooter or shooters, are shooting at vehicles, okay? 12 vehicles from sedans to box trucks have been shot by either BB guns or guns in the past couple of weeks in Phoenix, okay? It's bad. So far, someone's been hurt. Fortunately, so far, no one's been killed. Unfortunately, I'm going to go with unfortunately. This is Arizona, so you know what they're recommending. Everybody get a gun, start shooting back. That's what they're saying. Yep. So the and I got this from someone who lives in Arizona. Okay. They haven't caught the shooter yet, so the city has deputized armed civilians in the surrounding neighborhoods to help the police since the shooter has been random and sporadic. So this is the idea. You've got a random shooter, so you're going to deputize random people to shoot at the shooter. We have no idea who the shooter is. He's shooting at he, she, they, whatever, shooting at random cars on I-10, the busiest highway through the city of Phoenix. And your idea is to deputize random people to shoot back. So if you're driving through Phoenix, good luck. I love it. The thing is, I love that town. I love Phoenix and the surrounding areas, Scottsdale, Tempe Improv, for a long time, my favorite club. Beautiful desert landscape. I love it. Can't go. Can't go. Why? Because I'll probably be on my bike, and I sure won't have a gun. So I can't shoot back, and I don't know if I'm shooting at the shooter or if I'm shooting at one of the deputies who's shooting at the shooter, or the deputy thinks I'm the shooter, or maybe the deputy will think I look like James Blake. Maybe the deputy will see me and say, hey, isn't that the credit card fraud guy we tackled in New York? Now he's shooting on the highways in Arizona, so we should probably just go ahead and shoot him. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely insane. The answer to a shooter is let's deputize. I mean, what year is this? What year is it in Arizona? I talk about the South going back in time, and believe me, I'm about to do a whole thing about allowing the South to secede, because you know I'm big on letting them secede. But I throw in Arizona's going to have to join them, because if you're just starting to deputize posses and giving them guns, well, you don't have to give them guns, they already got guns, but just allow them to start shooting at a random unidentified shooter. So we don't know who we're shooting at, but we're going to shoot at that sumbitch. That's your idea. Then it is 1827 and the Wild Wild West is happening. Finally, Serena Williams, who I think is the greatest female international athlete the United States has, possibly the greatest international athlete we have. Serena's on a roll. I hope she wins the U.S. Open, wins the Grand Slam. You know, forget all this bullshit about what she looks like and all that. I'm not even going to get into that. She is the greatest athlete. Yeah, I'm going to say she's the greatest international athlete we have competing right now. Serena Williams is amazing. So what do they ask her? After a match with her sister, Venus Williams, which was an amazing match, and probably, this is a lifelong competition, right? This is little sister versus big sister, et cetera, et cetera. She has to do a press conference. What's the question? Serena, you won the match. Normally you smile when you win. Why are you not smiling? And Serena was honest. I love this. It's 11:30. Be perfectly honest with you. I don't want to be here. I just want to be in bed. I got to wake up early to practice. I've never heard LeBron, who no reporters like, asked why he wasn't smiling. I certainly never heard them ask Tiger Woods why he wasn't smiling. I haven't heard them ask when Michael Jordan was playing. They were never, hey, Mike, how come you're not smiling? Good luck, Serena. win the slam, own all four major tennis titles in the same year at the same time, and then you can smile. Jesus. Oh, that's enough out of me. That's the end of Who's Paying Attention, episode Grand Rapids, Michigan, working Dr. Grins this weekend. Next week, I'm going to record the podcast from the LA Podcast Festival. I'm going to have a couple of guests on and do something different. I love you guys for listening. Thank you. This is Alonzo Boat. Look, I can't even say my name. You know why? It's 11:30 and I'm tired and I'm not smiling. So Alonzo Bowden asking who's paying attention and thanking you for doing so. Good night.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.